On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
The best Cork sporting action at the weekend.
One goal to win the title. It's as simple as that.
Can you believe it?
Have you ever seen a try like that?
The Big Red Bench.
On Cork, good times.
Red FM.
Yes, welcome along to the Big Red Bench here on Cork's Good Times Red FM. Dan Casey here with you for the next hour, bringing you sporting action from around the country and county. But before we look ahead, we're going to look back. And Ronaldo, I know you're listening on your 26.99 Ryanair flight back to Portugal out of Cork. Try your eyes, mate.
Moment your whole life can turn round. Stand there for a minute, staring straight into the ground, looking to the left slightly, then looking back down. World feels like it's caved in, proper so is frown. Please let me show you where we could only just be for us. I can change the knuckle and roll, we can adjust. The wicked thing about us is we always have trust. We can even have an open relationship if you must. I look at her, she stares almost straight back at me. Her eyes glaze over like she's looking straight through me. And her eyes must have closed for what seems an eternity. When they open up, she's looking down at her feet.
This is big. Why not the hour mark?
I know it's hard to take, but her mind has been made up. Plenty more fish in the sea.
There is the contact, it's this moment. There was a tangle, a grab of Ronaldo's shirt by O'Shea, but the reaction from Ronaldo. It's an elbow right in the back, isn't it? There.
But
he's
got to
be referee. He's going to go back. Yellow card. Oh, so that red card for Ronaldo. And that cheered.
Yeah, what a game we had on Thursday night. Ireland beating Portugal 2-0 in the Aviva. Can we go one better tomorrow and get into the World Cup playoff? Hopefully we can beat Hungary on their home patch. It certainly is not going to be easy. But here's a section of the pre-match press conference with Irish manager Hamir Hallgrimsson, as well as Cork's own Kevin Keller.
Morning, guys.
Morning.
How are you doing? Hamir, you first of all. Are there any injury concerns, any updates, is Evan Ferguson joining the squad?
Everyone is fit, apart from him. We called him yesterday, or he did a session yesterday. He hasn't kicked a ball still. Talked to him. He feels that he will not be able to contribute much. I gave a big up to him, thinking about the team first. Obviously, every player would like to come, especially after the game in Dublin, and join. But he thinks he will not contribute enough to be in the squad, so we leave him out. And he just continues with Roma, his rehabilitation.
Are you tempted to field the same team because they did so well? Or are you concerned about, again, the two-game window and how players recover?
Yeah, I'm tempted.
You're tempted to?
I'm tempted to play the same team, yeah. I'm tempted. Will I do it? I don't know.
Quavin, what was it like for you and the players to get such a statement victory against Portugal?
Yeah, it was a big occasion for us as a team. I think we were due a big victory like that for a while then. Yeah, listen, all that does then is just set it up for us on Sunday. So we enjoyed the victory obviously, but I think pretty soon after the game, attention turned towards this game and how important this is. So listen. All that matters on Sunday.
But I think you and a lot of the other players definitely felt that there was a big win in you. You were just waiting for that moment.
Yeah, for sure. I think, like I said, I think we were G1 for a while. And yeah, it all came together on Thursday night. And it's going to give us a lot of confidence now for Sunday. You know, when you get a big win like that, it gives everyone a big boost and fills the whole team with a lot of confidence, and I think we're going to go into Sunday now ready and prepared.
And Hendrik, just for you, the fact that the objective is very clear, the players know exactly what they have to do. With Hungary, a draw might do them. Does that put a little seed of doubt in their heads or change their approach, give them a little bit of...
I don't know. To be honest, I don't know how they see this game or see the opponent. We don't care about them. The focus on us, that's a big task. First of all, focusing after a good game, building on that one, just realizing what it was that created that win, and try to reproduce that. Stop looking at or talking about what happened 2 days ago, because the focus on the next task is now the most important thing. We said we will always take it if we go to the final match, and we still have a chance, and everything is in our hands. And we grab it. We love the fact that it's in our hands now.
Cuiving, do you and the squad feel that there's more pressure on Hungary going into this game, given they're at home and need only a draw?
Yeah, potentially. I think it's been quite a while for them as well since they've last qualified for a World Cup, so obviously it's going to be a lot of pressure on them, and their home fans are going to come to this game expecting them to go through. But listen, we put a lot of pressure on ourselves as well. You know, we really rate ourselves as a team, and we put pressure on ourselves to qualify for a major tournament. So I think it's going to be pressure on both teams. It's a big game, so yeah.
And Hamir, what's the most difficult thing about facing Hungary, and are you expecting a slightly different approach from them than the one you saw in Dublin in September?
Yeah, like I said, we don't know how they will approach this game. Obviously, they have belief in themselves. They are at home in front of their fans, have been leading, at least having the biggest opportunity, probably close to celebrating, finishing with a win in Armenia, and then seeing us win in Dublin. A setback in the celebration, delay on the celebration, they think. Hopefully we can delay that a little bit more. For us, it really doesn't change much, our approach. You asked the coach in the Hungarian press meeting how he will approach the game.
I suppose just in terms of the Portugal game, you said you saw weaknesses and you exploited those weaknesses and you executed perfectly. Have you seen similar weaknesses in this Hungary team throughout the campaign, and are you confident you have a game plan to exploit that and get the victory?
Yeah, we always analyse every team and try to find some weaknesses, but on the day will they be there? It's sometimes it happens, sometimes not. That's the life of us as footballers and coaches. You go in with a plan, but you might need to change it in 5 minutes or whatever. So yeah, we obviously will have done before when we met them in Dublin, and obviously looked at every game they played since. And we will always have in our mind some weaknesses, yes. And we will try to exploit them, yes.
And then I suppose just the confidence is there, the belief is there. When will you know, like how long can you wait to see who has the energy for this game? Do you have to wait till match day to sort of assess the players and see?
No, we'll see on training, and we're in regular talks with the players who played majority of the game, so we know exactly where they are, both mentally and physically. But there's a training now in a few bits, and that will be the last check.
Hamer, Seamus Coleman is playing really well, we can all see that, but can you talk to me a little bit about the impact that he's having on making his teammates, the squad, mentally stronger over the last couple of games?
Yeah, probably we can add into this, knows him more than I do. I've been unlucky enough to have him included in my squads since only the last camp. But I think in general in life, in all people, and it applies to football, there's two kinds of people. People that have vacuums and people that have batteries. Now, that will give energy, will give joy, will give enthusiasm. He's a really, really, really a big battery for this group in so many ways. So the more people of Ireland would you produce more, Seamus is in the future would be better for the football team. But that's probably the biggest compliment I can give to anyone in life. He's the biggest battery I've worked with in a football team. Really a man that loves his country and will do anything, not only to shine himself, but to get the best out of everyone around him.
Equating, can I ask you, it was clear to see Seamus having a huge impact on the pitch the other night. He's instructing the defence at times where to go, that kind of thing. Can you talk to me a bit about the influence that he's had from a playing perspective on the pitch?
Yeah, obviously, I think, like you said, it's pretty clear to see his leadership on the pitch. He's one that has the ability to tell others where to go and what to do, and also focus on his own performance. Pretty good as well. But like the boss said, I think he's a selfless player. He wants everyone else to do well. He gives 110%. He drives the standards in the team. And he's an inspiration. Obviously, a lot of us in the squad look to him. He's been there and done it. He's played so many important games already for his country. So we'll definitely lean on his experience in the next today and tomorrow, really. He's played an obviously major tournament for Ireland, so he's massive for us, and we don't take him for granted.
Before we move into the embargo session, is there any questions from the Hungarian media for the live? Yes, just gentlemen here.
Írország a csoportunk körben mérkőzésenként nagyjából 3 sárgalapot átlagolt. Ő mégis az ellenfeleknél fordult elő eddig 3-szor is pirosabb. Ez a csapattaktikájának a tudatos eleme, hogy a párharcokban keményebben lépnek fel, és ezzel esetlegesen az ellenfelet is be tudják rántani ebbe a keményebb játékstílusba.
No, I don't think we're any different in duels. We are careful, though. We always speak before every match about being careful in the yellow cards. We want our best players to be on the pitch, not sidelined or banned. But that's something that we speak about before matches every time, the 1v1s and the duels. And we like to win more duels, but we don't like to have yellow cards, especially no silly yellow cards. That's why we don't have a sending off yet. Well, may that continue.
All right, we'll have a look at the football a little later on. I'm going to move on to hurling now, and tomorrow, Sunday, in Walsh Park, County Waterford, at 1:15, Cork Co-op Superstores Premier Senior Hurling Champion Sarsfield meet old rivals Ballygunner for a place in the 2025 AIB Munster Club Senior Hurling Championship Final. Earlier in the week, the Big Red Bench's Joe McCarthy spoke to Sars manager Johnny Crowley ahead of the epic encounter between two of Munster's top hurling clubs.
On Sunday, the AIB Munster Club Senior Hurling Championship semi-final in Walsh Park in Waterford at 1:15 takes place between the Waterford champions Ballygunner and the Premier Senior champions from Cork, Sarsfields. The game is live on TG Garra, and ahead of that big showdown, we're delighted here on the Big Red Bench to be joined by Sarsfield manager Johnny Crowley. Johnny, you're very welcome to the bench. How are you?
Very good, sir. Very good.
Good to talk to you. A busy week ahead and a busy week of preparations for what is another cracking showdown with a club you know very well. Just to start with, Johnny, since you've won the Premier Senior title, the second one in 3 years, it's been nearly a month. So how have preparations gone? And had you any concerns, you and the backroom team, just with the length of time since the last competitive game that you've played?
Yeah, so look, it's been... It's far and against the church, to be honest with you. The 4 weeks since we won. We went back training on the Thursday night after winning the county on Sunday. And it was my job to see, I suppose, trying to schedule a calendar for the lads and stuff like that. And I suppose one of the jobs was trying to get a game, and I found it almost impossible to get a quality game, simply because at that time of the calendar you had the Leinster championship wasn't finished in terms of their counties, so Offaly were playing, Kilkenny were playing, Dublin were playing, Wexford were playing. They had to play their finals, and then their respective quarterfinal ties for the Leinster championship then took place the weekend just gone. So we couldn't get a game in Leinster. The Galway championship final only took place last Sunday week again. So again, we couldn't get a fixture in there. Obviously, their final was Sunday, so we couldn't expect them to play on the following Tuesday or Thursday. And for obvious reasons, you're not going to look for a game in Munster. So all avenues of club hurling was gone in terms of trying to get a challenge game. Obviously, Ulster was the other one, and they had games up Munster. So we then looked at colleges, and unfortunately we had two games scheduled, and the two more pulled. One was pulled for a rescheduling of Fitzgibbon League, and the other one was pulled out of weather. So it's been difficult in terms of trying to get a game, but I suppose our training has gone really well. We've played a few in-house games and stuff like that, and we kind of structured around what we had to then when we couldn't get a game. So look, it's gone well. There's good boys in the camp. The lads are going well, to be fair to them. There's a great atmosphere there. There's a great expectation, going into our third Munster semi-final in a row. And we're really looking forward to the future. We're really looking forward to it.
Yeah, and you face a familiar foe and one Ballygunner that have a game under their belts as of the first weekend of November. Johnny, they beat, just last weekend, rather, they beat the Pearsic from Limerick. I know you probably would have watched that game or have had a chance to see it. Obviously, they've got a game under their belts. You're coming in a bit more, with a bit more of a gap into it. Any concerns about that? And did you learn anything new from the Ballygunners win over the Pearsic that you didn't already know about this team?
Yeah, I suppose the first part of the question. Yeah, I was down in Gaelic Grounds last Sunday, and I suppose they had Waterford had a ten week stop from their county final to that game. So you could see, I suppose, in the first 20 minutes, Ballygunner were finding their feet. What did they? They went into their old Ballygunner mode, and you could see the high octane hurling they play. They're very, very well conditioned. Fitness is not an issue with them, and they're structurally they're very resilient, and they're very structured. I suppose over the last 3 years, there's a new manager in there now, and obviously he'll bring his own ideas and his own thoughts on what they should do. But I suppose from the Limerick game, they've certainly tweaked it, but structurally they seem to be the same old Ballygunner in terms of, ferocious movement, massive interlinking play, very tricky around the middle third, and, ball handling is superb. Their passing and movement is really good. The support play is really good. So, look, they're a really good team. As it's bound to be at this stage of the competition. I mean, it's so hard to win your respective counties, would be it Limerick, Waterford, Cork, Clare, Cabrera, wherever you are. And when you do come out of that, it goes to a different level, because genuinely what happens in them circumstances is like the cream of the crop comes through, and you're now facing almost into county opposition in terms of your semi-finals or your quarter-finals, whatever stage you're at. If you look at the Limerick team last week, like, they were laden with probably five or six of the Limerick senior hurling panels. Ballygunner will have probably close on 9 or 10 of the Waterford senior hurling panels, 26. Likewise with Tipperary and Clare. So it's a different level, and it's a different challenge. But look, it's a challenge that you look forward to as well,
How much, Johnny, do you look back at previous wins. Fantastic, memorable win last year over Ballygunner in the Munster final. Heading into this game, or do you go in with a fresh outlook on your players and don't really look back on the past and just focus on maybe more recently beating Middleton in the final and focus on the more recent successes? Or is there anything to be gained from looking back in last year's final?
Yeah, look, I think, look, rightly or wrongly, I suppose I always look back on a victory or as a memory bank, as something that will always be there, and it's something that you can look back at in years to come, you know, in terms of your direct opponents in the following week. We certainly won't be looking back on 2024 or 2023. We definitely will have looked in terms of, you know, mistakes and stuff like that, but certainly we won't be referencing it. You know, like, what's gone in the past is the past, and you certainly can't change that. But you can certainly, you know, look forward. We were looking forward to, you know, 4 or 5 days' time, and look, that obstacle, we can say, is in our hands in terms of how we prep and how we prepare and how we're going to become the best version of us on Sunday. And, you know, if we look back on 24 and 23 and try to get something from that, we're doing something wrong. It's a completely new challenge. You know, it could be a ferocious battle, and we certainly will have to be the best version of Sarah's Sunday,
no? And just finally on that, John, being the best version of SARS, as you've mentioned there, I would imagine because you've been involved in so many big matches and big occasions like this one at the weekend against Ballygunner, that the players are just chomping at the bit now to have a real crack off this.
Yeah, absolutely, Gerard. Like, I mean, look, I suppose you're ramping it up now. We've done a lot of work over the last 3 or 4 weeks on various things, and, you know, position and fitness, you know, tactics, you know, systems and stuff like that. But I suppose this week you're kind of, it's kind of almost your down week, and you're probably trying to get inside the lads' heads. And again, I don't know, salary, but, like, you know, we have to be the best version of ourselves individually and collectively. You know, we have to have every single cog in the chain working absolutely at 100% if we're going to be in with a chance of winning this game in the last 10 minutes. Because with the opposition in front of us, you know, we have to be at 100%. If we're not, you know, you get found out. And you know, I suppose that's something for us as a management team to work on this week and work inside the lads' heads, and I suppose, you know, become the best version of us come Sunday, and become the best version of our SARS team that we've created over the last 3 years. And if we do that, and if we can bring it to the last, you know, 15, 20 minutes, you know, we'll have a hell of a shot. But look, we're under no illusions. That's the size of the task there. Ballygunner are a formidable opposition. Like, they're 12-time county champions in Waterford. They've won 5 or 6 months of titles over the last 2 years. They won an Ireland title. Like, they're a hell of a side. And they're probably, you know, 10, 11 years on their journey. I suppose you could say we're only 3 years on our journey. And we've got a lot out of our 3 years. We've had a quite successful period in terms of, you know, collecting silverware, which are your 3 leagues and your 2 counties and your Munster final or your Munster victory and your Ireland appearances. And, like, there, all these things are massive stepways to becoming better and better. So if we can collectively put all that experience together on Sunday, you know, and beat the challenge head on, you know, I think we'll be there about the last 5-10 minutes, you know.
I certainly hope so, Johnny. On Sunday, November 16th, AIB Munster Club Senior Hurling Championship semi-final in Walsh Park in Waterford with a 1:15 throw, and Ballygunner from Waterford taking on Sarras from Cork. On behalf of everybody here in the Big Red Bench, manager Johnny Crowley to you and your players, the very best of luck, man.
Thanks very much, Stuart. Thanks very much for calling.
Plenty more.
Red FM.
All right, welcome back to the Big Red Bench here on Cork's Good Times Red FM. Dan Casey here with you for the next half an hour or so. Now tomorrow in Semple Stadium, Thurles, Cork's Premier Intermediate Hurling Champions take on Upper Church Drumband from Tipperary in the AIB Munster Club Intermediate Hurling Championship semi-finals. Now, the Big Red Bench's Joe McCarthy caught up with the manager, Killian O'Mahony, earlier in the week to find out how the Cork champions' preparations were going ahead of tomorrow's showdown.
On Sunday, the AIB Munster Club Intermediate Hurling Championship semi-final takes place at FBD Semple Stadium at Thurles with a 1:15 thrown. It's live on Clubber. And taking part are the Tipperary Intermediate Champions Upper Church Drumben, and they are facing the Cork Champions Ballinhassig. We're joined by Ballinhassig's manager here on the Big Red Bench now by John O'Sullivan. John, you're very welcome to the bench. How are you?
Thanks, sir. Very good, Jack. Thanks for having me.
Easy one to start. Fantastic celebrations. Great celebrations in the victory over Ballincollig to win the Co-op Superstores Premier Intermediate Hurling Championship final at Super Value Park, Kilkenny. But that's over a month ago, John. How have preparations been going? Because you've had quite a gap to Sunday's clash with Upper Church Drumben.
Just going back to the county final itself and the celebrations thereafter. It was obviously a great win, and I suppose everyone celebrated accordingly. You know, players, management, supporters, the whole parish itself. Like, yeah, look, we had a great few days. But we got we got back down to business maybe. A recovery session in late in the week, and then we got back on grass on this Saturday and started to kind of try to put some shape on it, when the county final was great, and the immediate box was ticked, in terms of winning that and getting back up to senior. I suppose the bonus then is that you have a Munster Championship on the back of it, so I won't say it was straightforward coming back. It was a small bit fractured in terms of, trying to get getting a full complement back out on the pitch and stuff. Because fellas want to break after county final. They want to go off and do their own thing. And different fellas were going to different places. But look, over the last 2 weeks there, now we've had a good run in, and we managed to squeeze in a challenge match as well, which we were struggling to get at the time. But we got one there last weekend, and it really helped kind of shake off the cobwebs.
Is there one good benefit, I suppose, of being nearly a month without active, competitive games, is that the niggling injuries that you might have had coming out of that county final have had time to clear up? And also, just on the mental side of it, the players are on such a high, there's time to come back down from it. Whatever about physically, mentally, they're back down from it now, and this is a brand new challenge.
Yeah, it is. Look, it's... in terms of getting a bit more time into the injured players, that's been great. And they've been able to do a bit more rehab than normal, and hopefully, it'll stand to them there on Sunday. Just in terms of the mental side of it, because we would probably deal a lot on the mental side of it. They probably weren't fully engaged, they've taken their break, I suppose, a lot, some of them, as I say, would have gone away and taken a break themselves. You had, a couple, the Cork lads went off there on their break, and they're in the year holidays, so they're after getting a good break, and you had, just generally then, fellas were just kind of coming back a bit more, refresh there, maybe later than what we might have liked, but regardless, they're coming back refreshed anyway. And they seem to be kind of driving it on at this stage in terms of this whole Munster campaign. Because you don't know where you're at really. And our fellas up for it, or are they kind of happy enough with their lot? But they seem to have kind of drove it on a bit since we've been back now, which is great. And hopefully they'll rise to it there on Sunday.
You take on an Upper Church Drumben side from Tipperary who beat Carrick Swan in their own intermediate hurling county final. It's pretty much home territory for them, I suppose, when it's FBD Semple Stadium. That's where they won the title. But trying to flip that to your benefit again, John, that's a fantastic pitch that your players are going to get to play on. They've played on Super Value Park, Equivan, that brilliant surface. Getting the opportunity to play at Semple Stadium, irrespective of the opposition, that's a special day for any club player. Obviously, you want to focus on winning the game itself, but the fact that amid awful weather coming into it, that sod is going to be top-notch, and that's probably going to help your players and suit your players.
It will, yeah. Look, no doubt about it. It's great to be going to Thurles, to play a club championship game. I think we're the first team, I would say, in Ballinhassig that have had this pleasure. The sod, as you say, the venue is spectacular. The sod should be great up there. It'll be great not only for the team, but for the supporters as well. Because once you once you go on the road in Munster Championship, you're kind of, you're not only bringing the team, like, yeah, but you're bringing a parish with you. And those that will travel, I'm sure, will enjoy the occasion. We're kind of aware of a few supporters buses that are going, and we're also aware maybe some of the younger brigade that are travelling by train, which is novel, you would say, for a club championship game. It's maybe, it's, you know, it's the norm in the in June in the middle of Munster Championship, going to watch Cork by train, but when you're travelling here, you know, to watch your own club team, like, yeah, it's novel again, and I'm sure, look, everyone is going to enjoy it.
I have no doubt that the Ballinhassig supporters will certainly manage to enjoy themselves. They certainly did at the county final. Just finally, John, what would this do for the club? Because you were so close over the last couple of years to the Premier Intermediate, and this club is no stranger to Munster and going on a run to All-Ireland finals in the not too distant past. There's a heritage there, and there's a culture there. But for your players, whatever about yourselves, what would, you know, reaching a Munster final and winning a Munster final, let's not get too far ahead of ourselves, the boost that you've gotten from winning the county is one thing, but what would a boost of a Munster title do for hurling in Ballinhassig?
It would be huge. Look, even on the back of the county final, look, yeah, look, they created their own little bit of history. I think they were saying that after the game, but if I mean, if they were to win on Sunday and get to a Munster final, it will be huge for them, and it will be testament, I think, for the work tour that they've put in there over the last kind of 9 months, like, you know, and look, they will be fully deserving of it, I've no doubt about that. But on the flip side of it, we'll be going in against an upper church team, look, yeah, that are, I'm sure, are fully ready for us. They only, you know, they won a great semi-final against Certainhall. They won a very good final, and then, and after that, I think the week after that, like, yeah, they went out and contested the senior football semi-final in Tipperary as well. Like, yeah, so look, they'll be ready. They'll be very much ready for us as well. And look, I'm sure it'll be a great game. Hopefully, look, our hurling will come to the fore, and we'll be able to play well. And look, the result then will be the result at the end of the day.
On Sunday, November 16th, the AIB Munster Club Intermediate Hurling Championship semi-final at FBD Semple Stadium, Thurles, with a 1:15 throw-in. It is Upper Church Drumbane from Tipperary against Ballinhassig from Cork. John O'Sullivan, Ballinhassig manager, from everybody here on the Big Red Bench, the very, very best of luck to you.
Thanks, John.
Yeah, best luck to both Cork sides in action tomorrow in Munster. We're going to move on now, when Carrigaline have qualified for the 2025 McCarthy Insurance Group Cork Junior B County Football Decider, rather following a hard-fought battle with Glengariff and Clonakilty earlier this afternoon. A single point win there has set up a county final meeting with either Ballyfahan or Naoimh Avon. After the game, the Big Red Bench's Ger McCarthy spoke to both managers, but let's hear first from Killian O'Mahony of Carrigaline.
Killian, county final for Carrigaline Junior B, how does that sound?
Absolutely fantastic, Joey. You bit your hand off at the start of the year for that. Jesus, it was tough, touch and go there towards the end, but look, we saw it out. As we did in the last few games, the second half, we obviously, the quality come through, the fitness come through, and we're absolutely delighted with that. Glengariff gave us a great battle there. Donnie's in as well in the last game. So we're playing a competition there that we wouldn't be used to be playing them. No, it's very hard to grasp before the game what it's going to be like. But luckily we did enough today, and we're absolutely thrilled, Joe, yeah.
Yeah, you did just about enough right at the very end there. McConnell went right through. If he got under the bar, you were gone. But look, I think you just about deserved it over the year, though.
I think so, yeah. Look, we're working very hard there all year. We've had so many come through the panel. We've a great squad behind it. The sense of coming together that he's given us the last 2 weeks has been incredible. They're really buying into it.
Yeah.
And to go one more now would be fantastic.
Did it help that you played the quarter final against Donnie's here? Did it make any difference?
Possibly, look. I don't think it really matters. Probably, yeah, we were used to pitch, we warmed up the same way. But look, I think a pitch, we would have taken any pitch now, to be honest. I think pitches are fairly scarce. But we're absolutely thrilled with that.
A county final for your Junior B team, considering how well your senior team went this year and how much of an effort you're putting in Junior A, it's good all round for Carrigaline.
It is. Look, it's a credit to the club, to be honest. Our Junior A team as well were unlucky in the Saudis final. But to have a third team to get to a county final is a massive, and it just goes to show the work going into the club, especially in the football side of the house. And hopefully we can continue this now for the years to come, yeah.
Your bench have made a big effect as well. You needed each of those players. They all made an impact.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, I'm constantly saying to the lads, like, 1 to 15 is irrelevant, really. It's 1 to 20 that matters. And it took a while for some of the lads to grasp that when they're not starting. But look, they're all buying into it. They know they have a part to play. And it's just as important as anyone that starts. the squad rotation is so important for these kind of games. Yeah, especially, you know, injury prone now with the weather and everything else. But they're really buying into it now, and everyone played their part today, thank God.
Good luck in that County final.
Thank you very much, sir. Cheers.
Let's now hear from Sean Hurley, the manager of Glengariff.
Commiserations. Glengariff gave absolutely everything today. It just wasn't to be. And that last minute attempt that went just over the crossbar, had it gone under, he'd have been in the county final.
Yes, I'm always saying to the lads that football is played between the 2 years and the 6 inches. But the 6 inches between over the bar and under the bar today cost us. But we were up against it, but they battled hard, and I'm very proud of them.
Yeah, a lot of goal chances. Their goalkeeper made three really fantastic saves. On another day, they go in.
They'd go in, probably in a harder sod, a drier sod. Yeah. We'd have been better. I say that our lads found the hard going. The soft going kind of hard.
Overall, though, Glengariff competing, getting within an earshot of a county final at Junior B level. How important is this for your club and for your area?
It's immense, because it was sort of a 3-year plan. We hoped that we might be in this territory next year with the lads developing, but we got there a year early, so it bodes well for the future. And the lads had a get together there now in the middle of the pitch, and they want to regroup and keep the momentum going. So that's what we want, and I think they're learning as a group that you won't get anything out unless you put a lot of effort in. They learned that this year, and it's something that the club needed to learn as well. But we'll have them next year, and I'm looking forward to next year. I'm going to do one more year. And
very good. Thanks very much.
Brilliant stuff. Good to see Sean staying on anyway. Not going, giving away too much there at the end, I'd say. But it's a rugby now, and in the All Ireland League, in Division 1A earlier today, Cork were beaten 3-17 against Clontarf. In Division 1B, UCC beat Queen's University Belfast 27-12, and then Highfield, they staved off Instonians 15-14. And those Energia AIL updates are brought to you by Energia, I think, of the possibilities. And of course, now to the national team, boys, and Ireland play Australia tonight in their test at 8:10 in the Aviva. But let's hear the press conference now with Ireland's Sam Prendergast.
How have you found the last few weeks of camp and your performances?
Sorry, what was the last bit?
And just talk about your performance in the 2 games.
The 2 weeks have been good. It's always good fun coming back into camp. I think the couple of weeks we spent over in Chicago were good. It was just disappointing. We probably, as a team, couldn't get kind of the performance. Maybe the prep had given us a chance to put a good performance in, and we just didn't get that performance. But I suppose you can't get too bogged down by that. And then what, last week? Yeah, it was a good week. Like, it was a tough game. They made it very tough, and I think we did a lot of hard work in the first half that maybe we were a pass or an error away from scoring, but that hard work kind of paid off in the second half. I think there was a lot of ball in play in that first half that kind of allowed the game to open up a bit in the second half. Personally, from my performances, probably a bit disappointed with the first game. Coming off the bench, you never really want to make a couple errors. It's tough to get into the game then, and it just kind of, against a quality side like that, it just gives them field position and just kind of allows them to play with the ball they want, turnover ball. And then last week, happy enough. As I said, like, a lot of the work in the first half was very good from the lads in terms of kind of maybe wearing down the Japanese, and it allowed for the game to be a bit more open, which was probably made life easier for us substitutions.
Just for yourself, how beneficial has it been to come into this camp of work with Andy on a day-to-day basis? Again, obviously you put a lot of faith in your last year. You're starting out half in the Six Nations, and I know Andy's in a relatively stage, but you don't have that direct contact with him all the time. Just be back in here working with him on a day-to-day basis, having that direct line of communication again, does that help make everything kind of clearer and in your own head, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I think it's brilliant. Like, I think now the coaches who were, well, Andy was away with the Lions in the Six Nations, and then even on the summer tour, the coaches did a great job without him. But yeah, no, it's brilliant. Like, I think anyone who's ever spoke about Andy has said how the brain he has for rugby is brilliant, and also his kind of emotional intelligence. So yeah, like, any kind of conversations you can have about the game, whether it be mental or kind of strategic, is always beneficial for me as a player.
And what kind of conversations did you have coming into this camp about what he wants to see from the expectations?
I think he just wants to wants to see me playing with a bit of confidence and going and taking things on. It's not necessarily about being perfect, but it's about looking to do the right thing and not kind of putting restrictions on yourself. And I think, yeah, like, I always find that refreshing, so it's good.
Sam, if you're starting a match, what do you do to relax beforehand?
What do I do to relax? That was the last game I started, Munster. I've actually been watching Fast and Furious, watching all those from the start, so started watching them on the way to South Africa, so that's actually what I've been kind of playing through. I think I'm on Fast and Furious 7 now, so I'm getting through them at a rate of knots, so that's kind of what I've been doing to relax, yeah.
Here's your headline, everyone. The rotation between you and Jack, is that something you got to get used to? Is that just part of the rhythm of you both being this squad at the moment, and how do you feel it's working?
I suppose if either of us are getting bogged down by the rotation over the last year, I suppose it's selfish, like, as in we both say, like, that would be kind of, we're being selfish, so it's important. Just, I think we both agree that it's important we both stay positive and both just try to contribute to the team as best as we can. I think, yeah, like, I thought Jack has played very well the first two games, and, like, he started the season really well as well, so it's I think we both get along very well, and we both kind of share the same ambition, so it's not that hard to get on. And but yeah, like, as I said, like, I think if either of us are getting bogged down about that kind of rotation, it's quite a selfish thing to do.
It's important to be selfish as well, you know, a bit of edge as well.
Yeah, I suppose it is, but in terms of if you're getting bogged down by it, it kind of is impacting your day-to-day, so, and impacting your day-to-day is probably stopping you from getting better as a player, so yeah, that's what I'd probably answer to that one.
Okay. I had a similar note, Sam, like, were you disappointed not to have started the last two games, or how did you kind of look at how the messages came to you?
Yeah, like, of course, like, you always want to start, and, you know, like, I think there's probably five or six fly halves in Ireland who want to start those games, and yeah, like, it can be frustrating, but it's just about, as I said, not letting it eat you up, because kind of all you can really do is stay positive, kind of try to improve every day, and if you keep doing that, then kind of you hope the big picture things take care of themselves.
The fact that we're asking a question like that shows how far you've come in the space of the last year. After the summer, particularly after the summer here, did you take time to sort of reflect, because a lot happened in the last season, did you take time to reflect on it and
takeaways? Yeah, I don't know how much, yeah, like, I would have reflected on it a bit, and we had a good pre-season in Leinster. Like, I suppose I took kind of the first couple of weeks just trying not to think about rugby, and then getting into a little bit of training, and then, like, I thought it was quite a good approach, because I felt quite hungry then coming into Leinster, and I really enjoyed the pre-season. And I suppose the frustrating thing about that was that it didn't really translate on the pitch to start the season off. But I don't know, I would have done, yeah, a little bit of reflecting and just kind of looking back on games that I could maybe learn the most out of, and trying not to get kind of tripped up by the same things that tripped me up last year.
Playing Keane again last week, I assume the knob he had would just never wear off. Is it as special as the first time?
Yeah, and I think the coolest part about it is after the game, because I've said it before, but it's really hard to kind of think about it when you're in the lead up to a game, because one, you don't know when you're going to come on, if you're going to come on together, are you going to play together, and two, it's like, I feel like it can, I'd say he'd agree with me that it can, if you think about it too much, it can become a distraction that you probably don't need. Like, I think you actually need to just focus on your performance, and then when you're out there on the pitch with him, then it's pretty cool. Like, then it's kind of sinks in, and then after the final whistle goes, you're like, oh, that was pretty cool, and you go up and see kind of how happy it's made your family, and we had a nice dinner after. That's kind of the benefit of the early kickoff. We actually got to spend some time together as a family, and it was a pretty kind of special 24 hours.
Correctly seated in your lineup.
Yeah, exactly.
Thanks. Brandon?
Hi, Sam. Do Ireland play differently with you at 10 to Jack? And by way of explanation, do Leinster play a bit different if it's you or Ciarán or Harry? Like, how much influence does the young half have when there's something different in that shirt?
I suppose I'd say if you ask all of us that, I'd say all of us would say maybe a slight bit, because we all want to be ourselves, like, as in, no one's going out there to be, like, as in, just say, so Johnny's played for Ireland and Leinster for so long. I don't think it's going to work if all of us are trying to be like Johnny, because we're not Johnny. Like, as in, we have to try to be ourselves. And I think all of us would probably say that, yeah, we want kind of, like, we're all coached and taught the same things, but we all kind of want to put our own flavour on it. And I think that's probably when each of us get the most out of the team.
Just on that then, I think Carter Gordon is the seventh player to play 10 for the Wallabies in 2025. How difficult does that make it to know what's coming actually at the weekend, given they've had so many people in such good position?
Yeah, they've had a lot of rotation at 10, and I think a lot of them have done very well as well. Like, I think, I'm not too sure, like, why there's been so much rotation. I know some of it's down to injury, but I think there's a lot of good players there, and a lot of, like, I know Carter Gordon's just back from rugby league, and I know he kind of took a risk going to rugby league, and it maybe didn't work out because of injury, but it's a pretty, it was a pretty cool move for him. I'd say he learned a lot, and I'd say he's coming back with kind of a fresh perspective, and I'd say he's excited to get going. And then there's also lads who've been with him for the last couple of months who are kind of trying to drive the team along. But yeah, it makes it a little bit harder, yeah. But it's also, like, I suppose we know, like, out halves kind of know that the more you can play, the better you can kind of, like, the better you can kind of become from learning week on week. And I suppose if there's that much rotation, maybe does that make it a bit harder? I'm not too sure. I still think that the little bit of freshness they add in at 10 can suit them at times as well.
Thanks. Last couple of questions. Michael, then Derek.
How are you, Sam? You told us that you did read Johnny's book there a while ago. What's it been like working with him, and have you picked up stuff straight away?
And I suppose I'd say probably his strength was how quickly he picked up things, I think it's quite cool to see how he, like, he's probably changed a lot. I didn't ever got to really experience him as a player, but I'd say he changed a lot from being a player to a coach in terms of how he maybe messages things. But I have found it incredibly beneficial. I think all of us tens agree, like, I think from a kicking point of view, from a, like, attack, defence, even just from a mental point of view, I think he's probably one of the best to ever do it. So it's kind of just looking for his opinion on things and the way he kind of goes about things, but also his openness to kind of to learn as well, because he's probably thinking he needs to learn as a new coach. And I think that kind of openness he has is quite refreshing, and it's good to learn off.
Did you read Andy's book?
No, I didn't.
Derek, last.
Just some housekeeping, Sam. What are your parents' names?
Mark and Kira.
And you've played with Keane before, haven't you?
Yeah. Fiji, yeah.
Okay. And does he take the piss out of you, seeing as how he's unbeaten and you're not?
No, he doesn't, no.
Definitely not an awkward ending at the end there. We're looking forward to the game, and Darragh Smith, knocked on of off the ball, is at the Aviva Stadium ahead of Ireland against Australia.
A wet and breezy evening here on the east side of Dublin City, but that hasn't stopped 50,000 fans making their way down to the Aviva Stadium as the Wallabies pay their latest visit to Lansdowne Road. It's been almost 7.5 years since Australia last got the best of Ireland, but head coach Joe Schmidt has plenty of history with the Irish and will feel today's outing is a must win following Australia's winless start to the autumn window. The big team news going into this one, well, it's the return of the Mac. Mac Hansen is set to line out at fullback for the first time in a green jersey in place of the injured Jamie Osborne. Sam Prendergast will make his first start at out half in these November games, as captain Caelan Darris will feature at open side flanker with Josh Van der Fleer ruled out, while Stuart McCluskey returns to the starting 15 after missing out last week with a groin injury. I'm Darragh Smith-Nocton, live from the Aviva Stadium. It's Andy Farrell versus Joe Schmidt. It's Ireland versus Australia.
Well, we'll forget the egg chasing. As we all know, Ireland is football country, and tomorrow could be a huge day in Irish sport. The win against Hungary in Budapest will send Ireland into the World Cup playoffs. Just wanted to play us out on the Big Red Bench with this fantastic piece of audio from Marty. It's the audio from the Italian ID reeling in the ears. Come on, lads.
In the sunshine. Sheedy's won it back, and Sheedy shoots.
I will be here as long as I feel that the people want me.
And it's not clear terribly well. Back in by Morris. Aldridge trying to get there. Townsend to up comes McCarthy.
We'll put him under pressure.
He's bullying lots of journalists. I mean, Egyptians, Irish, English journalists. Not just me. I'm just the one that has decided that I'm not going to be bullied any longer.
I am entitled as an individual to speak to who I want to speak to. I think that's pretty straightforward. And I don't want to talk to him.
Of taking the penalty that could send Ireland into the quarterfinals of the World Cup. This kick can decide it all.
The members of the Irish football team.
Giannini to Baggio. Townsend got in a challenge. Baggio to Schillaci. Giannini looks for.
We ate well, and we drank very little. We're going to change that tonight.
Yeah, what a soundtrack and what a piece of audio from RTE and reeling in the ears. That's all we have time for here, though, on the Big Red Bench. Dan Casey signing off, but Marty Guilfoyle is on the way.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes, subject to driver availability. More terms apply.